Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker radio show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, Jill Serkin.
Hello.
With her silly Christmas dealy boppers.
Because I have just done the Superior Show, Paul Andrews.
You have just done Scoff and Quaff.
Yeah. And we were quaffing some beautiful, rather lovely English sparkling from Herbert Hall in Marsden, and also the Bicycle Bakery in Tunbridge Wells. Some beautiful croissants. Sadly, the Business Bunker, I guess we've gobbled them all up and quaffed all the sparkling wine.
It was evil. It was evil. I don't drink, and I'm on a carbohydrate-free diet. And what have they got? Sparkling wine, chocolate au pain au chocolat.
No chocolat.
Yeah. Mince pies with crispy pastry.
Mind you, you like a mince, don't you?
Ho, ho, ho.
Mince.
She's already bomb happy. See, the thing is, listener, is that Jules doesn't work very much. And so that was, although it's only the 3rd of December, that was her last show of the year.
Yeah.
So she's all bomb happy, celebrating Christmas and all the rest of it, where the rest of us have got weeks to go yet.
I've actually done all my Christmas prep for the food.
She even bought my Christmas present and card today.
I know.
It's too organised.
It's called being very organised, yeah. And I've ordered my turkey, all the veg, the red cabbage, lovely little Riverford Brussels sprouts in double cream with almonds and lardons. Delicious. Absolutely delicious.
With almonds, not chestnuts?
No, almonds.
Oh, okay.
And lardons.
Yeah, yeah.
You like a lardon?
I like a lardon, yeah.
But did you see my tweet this morning? You say I don't work very hard. Woken up this morning by air and sea rescue outside my house at like 5 in the morning.
Oh, you haven't been throwing a new husband in the water again, have you?
I'd like to sometimes.
Yeah.
He does have a habit of breaking things. He broke the other day in one, he was putting the blanket away in the coffee table, he said. In one fell swoop, he broke a beautiful crystal candelabra and my mother's antique sugar bowl.
But that's no reason to call out the rescue services, is it, really? I mean, that's over the top.
It needs to be done. 5 a.m. this morning, I thought, what on earth is that noise? And I peered out, it was pitch dark, and the old helicopter's going along. I don't know if they're looking. We get quite a lot of, are they migrants?
Immigrants or migrants.
Or do we call them refugees? I'm not quite sure.
Well, they're people.
You've got to be politically correct.
Yeah, but there are people coming ashore in boats. But mind you, Jules has got a telescope set up there so that she can wave at the people drowning in the bay.
I nip out with a hot chocolate now then.
Yeah. You're all right out there.
But then I say, now wash it up.
Yeah, cool. Welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you join us for a couple of hours here. I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsors.
Who might that be?
It's the lovely people at Fit for Trade. They're flexible training solutions for the glass and glazing industry and the wider construction sector. www.fitfortrade.co.uk for all your occupational compliance and peace of mind.
So a wider construction, does that mean large people work for them?
No, it means big windows and doors.
Oh, I see. I was thinking that all their contractors were, eating too many croissants.
They're actually an incredibly interesting company. They provide qualifications and training for people that work in primarily double glazing, effectively. Mm-hmm. Joanne, who's the chief executive, was a window installer. One of the few women in the industry, and one of the things that they are very keen on is getting more women into the fenestration business.
Ooh. Yeah. Fenestration,
yeah.
Of course, now with global warming and eco, we've all got to be eco-friendly. Double glazing must be, because the wind rushes through my windows.
Apparently, you should have listened to the show when Joanne was on talking about it. Yeah, yeah,
I can listen again.
Yeah, we're well past double glazing, mate. We're
triple.
Into quadruple glazing and all kinds, yeah.
Well, yeah. I need to phone them because I need new windows.
Yeah,
there you go.
They don't actually do windows anymore because they're a training company, but I'm sure
they know someone.
They'll know everyone, yeah.
And a balcony.
Absolutely. So give them a follow anyway, Fit for Trade. Really interesting.
And where are they based?
Well, they cover nationally. They're actually based in Suffolk, but they have offices in Kent.
Good. Yeah. Very good.
And they do a lot of online training as well, so you can do a lot of the training online. and gain your qualifications. And it's not only in fenestration, and that's why they say in the wider construction industry they do other qualifications, but they kind of specialise in fenestration.
I just like the word.
And I just like saying fenestration.
I know. Yeah. That's about the eighth time you've said it now.
What, fenestration?
Yeah. Again and again.
Yeah.
Is it Latin?
Yeah. So, what have you been doing?
Well, apart from being woken up this morning at an unearthly hour, I must announce that the final Slope of Friday of the year is going to be held in Ramsgate this Friday. It starts at 2 p.m, so you get your work done in the morning and starts at 2 p.m.
She's so funny, isn't she?
And we're at the lovely Empire Rooms in Ramsgate with Chef Craig Mather and all his team. And we're having the traditional Christmas. So Slope of Friday.
And that's which Friday? This Friday?
Yeah. And it's always the first Friday of the month.
And it starts, and it ends on the third Friday of the month.
Yeah, it does go on. Yeah. We ended up last time, I'm a bit frightened actually of Ramsgate, because it's, you know, we ended up at the Wetherspoons on the front.
Yeah, about 2 a.m.
Yeah, and then I phoned you, didn't
I? And then she phoned me at 2 o'clock. Hello, we're on Slope off lunch.
Yeah.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning, Jess. Is it? Yeah.
Just having a cheese board. That's what we do.
And a bottle of port.
Yeah, that's right.
Alan had just bought a bottle of port. Yeah. You phoned me up to tell me how much he'd pay for this bottle of port at 2 a.m. in Ramsgate. Yeah,
that's why he's so popular.
Mm.
Accountant, you see, Simon.
Yeah.
Shall we run through our guests?
You can introduce our guests if you like.
So
this will be a laugh.
Yeah. So we've got Deborah Turner.
Yeah.
You Image Consultancy.
Hello.
And Deborah will be telling us all about today.
Well, lots of things, actually. I'm going to be telling you a little bit about U Image Consultancy and my other small business, which is property related. And first and foremost, what I'm going to be talking about is the Kent Business Summit. And Flirty is going to tell you a little bit more about that. But I'm coming at it from the Federation of Small Businesses sponsor.
You see, so the show is not just thrown together, Paul.
It's not. It's produced within an inch of its life. And I was mortified. I have to say, huge...
mortification.
Yeah, I have to supplicate myself before Deborah. I was convinced that Deborah had been on the show recently, and she tells me she has never been on my show in this studio. She has been on the show.
Other people.
Decades ago when we were still down in Dinchurch.
Other people's, but not ours.
She's been on The Conversation with Bird and Women in Business.
Yes.
With Sharm. Yeah. So, I'm remiss, and I'm going to make up for it by inviting her back every week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Including on Christmas Eve.
Including Christmas Day.
I'm doing my cabbage.
Yeah.
And then flanking the gorgeous Deborah Turner, who always looks very well turned out, and she should, because she's...
Well, she's got to, hasn't she, really? Yeah. There's no choice.
Could rock up in pyjamas, could she?
Yeah.
Mind you, pyjamas are very...
I might on Christmas Eve, though, if I'm invited.
Yeah. So.
But pyjamas are very now, aren't they? With those fluffy slippers. What's going on?
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I don't like that look, really. And then we've got Simon Warne, who's from Crow.
Yeah.
As the Crow Flies.
Indeed.
In Maidstone.
Indeed.
Crow UK, that's got a little E on the end. And you're going to talk to us about...
Well, I think joining in the conversation about the Business Summit.
Our conversation, we're going to find out a little bit about each of our guests and what they do. And Crow UK are one of the sponsors of the summit. But we're going to talk to Simon about the heady world of accountancy and tax planning, very briefly.
Yes.
And then,
as much tact as you wish.
And then, snuggling up to Simon Warne, we've got Flordia.
No, that's rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's rubbish.
Of the Kent Business School.
Flirty Hooter, even.
Flordia Hooter.
Yes.
Of the Kent Business School. I've just been in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Should have had lessons, shouldn't I, while I was there? Could have done.
Well, the surname is German, so it's...
Oh, that would have got
me
very
fair. Dutch.
But where are you from?
Holland. Yes.
You are, but where in Holland?
Near Amsterdam.
Okay.
Yes, so, but then everybody lives near Amsterdam.
So can you please explain the bicycle, the laws of the bike there? Because I went to Copenhagen and Sweden, felt very safe, but Amsterdam, they're sort of... bit wilder than the Swedish, aren't they, on their bikes?
I don't know what the regulations are in Sweden and in the other Nordic countries. But
it seems much calmer.
The bike is king in Holland, basically.
That's
so
it.
Wherever the bike comes from, they always have a right of way.
Oh, that's what it is.
Others. So they can come from the left, right.
They can
land on top of your car. Yes. It doesn't matter. You have to
and by the time you've had
them...
by the time you've had five magic mushrooms and a couple of joints.
Yeah.
And then some beer. You really don't.
They all have had that as well. So.
Yeah.
But they just go, you know. They all know what they're doing.
Yeah. None of you will understand the anecdote I'm just about to tell you because you're all far too young. But many, many years ago, I was head of IT for an energy company. And we had a small European conference where we called all the heads of the different IT departments in each country together to discuss our plans. And I chaired the event. And a chap called Bert Ravstein, who was from The Hague in Holland, ran the Dutch thing. And a chap called Bernie was from the Hamburg branch. And it all got a bit heated and it erupted into an argument. And eventually Bert stood up and screamed at him, "Give my dad's bike back," and then stormed off. I'm like, what is
still going? I don't know if it's still going when I left Holland, which was quite a long time ago.
But what I love as well is they have the upright bikes.
Yeah,
you know, it's lovely. It's beautiful.
They're very comfortable, but as long as there's no hills involved,
and they
when the landscape's flat, they're wonderful.
And they do do everything on them. They've got the baskets, the dogs, the kids. You know, it's wonderful. I love it.
Yeah.
So
it will come here as well, the bike.
Yeah, it will.
If we can flatten the country.
We need to do away with some hills.
Electric bikes, if you get
electric bikes
hill.
Are really big, and electric scooters and stuff, yeah. Well, funnily enough, my youngest son was in Amsterdam last weekend as well.
Just recovered.
His partner's Dutch, so they were going home visiting family. But, so it's all happening out in Amsterdam, and we're here.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. And
let's all go.
Houseboats, and I just love it. I love the canals and those canals, hundreds.
Anyway, that's the end of the travel show for another week.
Full of bikes, those canals as well.
Yeah. Oh, what,
filled with bicycles.
Yeah,
that's
where the Germans put all the bikes.
I've got a big flat boat once a year that dregs all the bikes out of the canal, and it's a big heap.
And I'm a big fan of the Stroopwafel. I should have bought you some Stroopwafel. I bought Paul Andrews some lovely Dutch licorice, but I didn't bring you Stroopwafel.
You didn't. No.
Would you have liked a Stroopwafel?
Quite possibly.
Yeah. They're lovely.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, enough of your travels.
I even found some gluten free.
We've only got 2 hours. So if we let Jules wobble on about where she's been in the last 3 weeks, we'll never go anywhere.
Stroopwafel.
Thank you. Read a tweet or an email.
All right, then I'll do something. Okay, so the Kenwood Trust, Paul Andrews, you might know them. They have on display a unique collection of Bernardo's memorabilia as the Georgian mansion used to be Bernardo's home over 60 years ago. Do you remember that?
I do.
Richard Snow from Pembury has collected items relating to Bernardo's, a cause very close to his heart for many years. He has kindly decided to donate his collection to Bernardo's after being displayed at Kenwood Trust, a charity which is helping those with addiction. It's based in Yalding, and some of you may know Yalding is quite near
Maidstone. It's between Maidstone and Paddockwood.
Simon will know it then. Simon
yes,
Crowe.
I do. Yes, I do.
Kenwood Trust has previous links to Bernardo's with their Georgian manor, being one of the homes for vulnerable children, estimated to have been opened in 1943. The collection is on display in the house and offers a selection of items from a money box to model van to posters and awards and spans many years. And Penny Williams, the CEO of Kenwood Trust, is that our Penny?
Yes.
Ah, hello, Penny. She says, "We're delighted to be able to display such a wonderful, unique collection of items relating to another charity linked to this site. The display will be held in our reception in Yalding until January, so we urge you to come and see it over the festive period. I'd personally like to thank Richard for thinking of Kenwood Trust." So that's Kenwood Road in Yalding, and the little sat nav is ME186A, H for Harry. And for more information about Kenwood Trust, please visit kenwoodtrust.org.uk. That's lovely. Because it was, what's the famous fashion designer that was a Bernardo's boy? Bruce Oldfield, is it?
Yes. Bruce Oldfield, yes, yeah.
Is it Bruce Oldfield?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's right.
He was a famous Bernardo's boy. There've been a few, but
yeah, there has actually. Yeah,
the only one I know.
Yeah, the Kenwood Trust now is a charity that specialises. It's a residential charity that helps people with drink and drug addictions. And I'm proud and pleased to be a trustee of said charity. And so do get down there, check out the display of the Bernardo's toys. It's really fascinating and interesting. And while you're there, partake in our Sage and Thyme Cafe. Good.
I'll take my mum because she did her nursery nurse training at Barnardo's in London.
Oh, did she? Wow.
Yes. Ah. So now you've just told me that. I will. I've got a little day out with her next week for Christmas, so perhaps I'll nip her along to there.
And she can go. She can go see the llamas too.
Cool. Have they got llamas?
We got llamas. Yeah, we got llamas.
By the way, I think it's Small Business Saturday this weekend.
It is.
Off the top of my head. So remember to support your local butcher, baker, and all the
candlestick maker.
Local shop. Yes.
And llama farm.
And all the local businesses. But not just at Christmas, all the time.
Cool. Can I have a go?
You can if you want.
Can I? Is that all right?
You did tell me to work.
Okay. I'm really pleased about this. I only found out about this morning, but the lovely Zoe Cairns, who most of us know, she has made it into the Tech 500 power list.
Way. Yay!
Yeah,
it's brilliant to have one of. There are a few women in that list this year, which is. But brilliant.
Yeah.
Kent lady.
Yeah, the Taito Tech 500 Power List reveals the most influential figures within the UK technology sector, as well as examining what truly creates influence. Each year, Taito Tech 500 Power List tells us not only about who is most influential, but about what it means to be an influencer in that particular year. So it's a real honour for Zoe to be included at number 86 alongside Martin Lewis, Richard Branson and Stephen Fry.
Woo-hoo.
There you go. So huge shout out to Zoe Cairns. One down, Zoe. And Zoe is the chief executive of ZC Media, of course. ZC Social Media, even.
Cool. Yes, well done, Zoe. That's brilliant. Mm. Actually, I need to phone her. She phoned me and left a message, and I haven't got back because I was in Amsterdam. I must. On my list. Green Tuesday returns, Paul Andrews.
It does today.
Why your business should get involved. Green Tuesday returns this year on the 3rd of December, which is today, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And local businesses are encouraged to take part. Maidstone, Simon.
Yes.
Mentioned again and again. Based independent mobile phone comparison site, which is compareandrecycle.co.uk. They're encouraging local businesses to recycle their old tech. Oh, I've got buckets full of it. This Green Tuesday to help do their bit for the environment. This is great. With consumer shopping days such as Black Friday fast becoming a key date in British calendars, Green Tuesday, nominated for 2019 as the 3rd of December, follows closely behind and encourages electronic recycling and decluttering. The date is a small step, big difference approach to tackling the growing mountain of e-waste going to landfill whilst helping offset your business carbon footprint. So as we enter the new year, many businesses will upgrade technology and relegate old computers, phones and devices to gather dust in the cupboard. Yet this equipment could be sold and recycled safely, preventing harmless components going to landfill and helping towards the cost of new equipment. Organisations can also rest safe in the knowledge that their old devices will be fully wiped of data, preventing risk of security breaches. This is brilliant, isn't it?
Yep.
Matthew Morton, who's the MD of Compare and Recycle, explains, this Green Tuesday, when offices across the country are delving into cupboards and storage units for their Christmas decorations, we're urging them to recycle any unwanted technology they come across. Not only will they help the workplace become a little bit more sustainable, but if devices are working and still fairly recent, it could earn enough to cover a few rounds of drinks at the Christmas party. So you can find out more by going to compareandrecycle.co.uk/business/mobile-phone-recycling.
If you go to the website, what they do is you tell it what phone you've got and they'll give you the best price for it. They deal with numbers of recycling companies and they'll bid for the best price that they'll give you for the phone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some phones are more valuable than others. Late model phones are valuable, but vintage phones are also, you know. Yeah, if you've got an old Nokia 3310, you might get a few bob for it. They're back in vogue. So there you go. Check it out. It's worth looking at. I've got a tweet here from the lovely Kim Stevens of Care in Kent, and she says, hello, I'd love a Business Bunker shout-out, please, to all the emergency services and community carers out and about this frosty morning. A majority of carers will be walking or cycling to clients in Ashford and Folkestone, so I'd like them all to stay warm and safe and for you to give them a big shout-out and hello. I'm more than happy to do that, Kim. Cool.
We have to give a shout-out to Telcare. They have popped up on our Twitter, so big hello to you. And are we allowed to say Happy Christmas now? I think we can. I'm wearing reindeer ears, so therefore I will. And Lisa Settle says, I got my bike bell from Amsterdam and I love it and I'm always ringing my bell. And she likes a padded seat, does Lisa?
She cycled round Cambodia, didn't she? And she got a bit saddle sore, I think.
And then the other day, she fell on her derriere in the mud on a country walk.
Did she? Yeah. Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, she did. She's hobbling around, I expect.
Is that in her gilet?
Probably in a gym.
Diamond Circle Weddings have tweeted, it's Christmas time. No. No flies on them, is there? It's Christmas time and you could just live on mistletoe and wine. We have the stock to make your corporate tables rock at this year's Christmas parties. Our table decorations also spread Christmas cheer, as seen here at the DWAD charity ball. I actually saw that. I was at the hotel on Friday when the DWAD charity ball was happening. I wasn't at the event. I was doing something completely different. But I saw their table decorations and they looked absolutely fabulous.
What were you doing then?
I was on a fam weekend.
Oh, yeah, you had your fam weekend.
I was on a fam weekend, yeah. And nothing to do with me whatsoever.
Just eating and drinking on your no-carb diet.
Exactly, yeah. It destroyed it. My partner Amanda is chief executive of Evexio, which is an event management company, and we were invited by the lovely team at Alma Rose Hotels to do a tour of some of their properties for the weekend. So we had an awful weekend at three different hotels, having six different meals and a trip to Hush Heath Winery and all kinds of stuff. All at no expense spared.
You're looking very perky.
Yeah, it was good.
Paul Wilson.
Sorry, hold on. I've been told off. It's a fam trip.
Oh.
Apparently, it's a fam
trip.
What
do you call it?
A fam weekend. Sorry, it's
same
fam
thing.
Trip.
Same thing. Phil Wilson of Pip Drums. He's a drummer, you know. He says, if you can play... Hello, Jules Serkin and Vanilla Webb with me first.
Phil's the drummer with Mud.
Is he?
Yeah.
He looks far too young.
Yeah, yeah.
It can't be an
Mud
original.
Too. No, it's Mud 2.
I was going to say, he's like, pardon. Mm. Shall I do the dance now? That's right, that's right, that's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
It's only me and you that know what we're talking about. That's
know,
the problem.
I know. We'll go on to the wooden tops in a minute.
Yeah.
If you can please give a shout out today to all the musicians getting busy with Christmas shows, pantos, parties, corporate functions, and travelling in all kinds of weather to put a smile on people's faces. We will, Phil Wilson, Pip Drums. Let's have a little rift. Is it a riff? No,
riff.
Drums don't do that. They do
drums don't riff.
What's that thing they do? They do the
drum roll.
They always have that. Yeah, there's a name for it though. I think something
drum roll.
Technical.
Yeah, yeah.
Cymbal.
maybe a riff. Drum riff.
He'll tell me. Yeah, I think it is. There is because Shay, my youngest, did drums, and I always remember he did that.
Yeah.
You know, like on Love Actually, the little boy does that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I think it's more
I don't
than
know
a
why
riff.
You're going on about it, but I know what you
because
mean.
Because it's annoying me. I think it's got a proper name. And also, who else? Hello, Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin. Me second. I hope you have a fabulous show today. We're getting closer to Christmas. Please give the Food Junkies a shout out. So that's the_Food Junkies. We wish you all a beautiful and wonderful Christmas. A Merry Christmas and hope to see you all in 2020.
Is that the guys from Izzy Guy?
That's Bruce, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Bruce Kidd and the guys from Izzy Guy. Yeah. It's vegan food.
Bruce and Russell.
Yeah, it's vegan stuff.
Yeah, it is. You could eat that. Might have a few carbs.
He could.
Yeah. Bruce and I had a long discussion about vegan sausage rolls.
Well, you see.
And my objection to such things.
Well, because of my thyroid, darling, I can't eat.
You've got a thyroid problem.
Yeah,
good grief.
Yeah, Hashimoto's.
We never knew.
Yeah.
We didn't know.
Autoimmune.
Yeah.
So for me, the vegan diet is the worst. I'm a carnivore. I live on meat, fish, veg. Very plain, very natural. Bit of cacao now and then. But. Some sparkling white wine, maybe.
For breakfast.
Yeah, but venison for breakfast. A little
more. Do you know what you had for breakfast this morning?
Yeah.
Got steak.
Steak, scrambled egg and smoked salmon. Yeah. Yeah. And it's good. I feel great. but for me, kiss of death for a lentil.
Don't want to go near a lentil,
very,
not with her.
Very inflammatory for anyone with an autoimmune.
She could eat a vegetarian, but that's about it.
Yeah. Only roasted.
Yeah. Anyway, look, enough of that. I'm going to play some cheesy tunage.
Okay.
Are you up for this? Are you going to try and guess what this is?
I don't know. It depends how obscure it is. Hallelujah. Never heard it.
It's Simon Garfunkel.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. It's a dreadful track.
It is. But oh, yeah, Go Tell It to the Mountain.
Go Tell It to the Mountain.
Yeah.
We're going for a summit.
Oh,
sorry.
That is tenuous.
Very.
flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 3rd of December. Sorry about that. That's a horrible song, isn't
it? Yeah, we were discussing...
It is a Christmas song as well.
Oh, dear.
Go tell it to the man.
There's nothing Christmassy in that. What's the Christmassy bit?
There's not a jingle
in there.
Well, you should have listened to the words, really, instead of talking your way all the way through it.
We're talking about Stroopwafel.
Were you?
Yeah, and then something else. What was the other thing, Georgie?
Porfritches.
What?
Porfritches.
See, it's so cute, that
Of course
language.
You were, yeah.
Porfritches. We're very cute people.
Yeah, exactly.
Clogs.
That's not a way to talk about it.
He hasn't shared his licorice. I've got him some lovely Dutch
I haven't owned
licorice.
It yet. I love Dutch licorice because it's hard.
Yeah, it's very salty.
Yeah, and salty, yeah. Absolutely.
I just bought myself a pair of clogs, but they're from Finland.
Oh. You bought yourself what?
A pair of clogs.
Clogs, but Finnish clogs.
Super, super comfy.
They are, yeah. I've got some, but they're not from Finland. They're from FitFlop. I wear them to go in and out of the garden, as you do. You know?
There was a period in the 70s in the UK when clogs were huge.
Yeah.
Everybody wore clogs.
I wore them. To discos.
Yeah. No, seriously.
I had a white pair and my boyfriend had a black pair.
I had a red pair and a black pair. And seriously, with Fruit of the Loom... pants.
Flares
that were 19 foot wide at the bottom and clogs.
Yeah.
Now, you tried disco dancing in that.
Yeah. It was a recipe
for a pile-up,
yeah,
really, wasn't it?
We did, though, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
Do the hustle.
Yeah.
And cheesecloth shirts.
And cheesecloth shirts.
And also Ben Sherman.
Yeah, but cheesecloths had to be granddad shirts.
Yeah, they did. And a Ben Sherman. And braces, actually, because I came from Essex, a lot of the boys were skinheads and braces.
Yeah.
And very short trousers and very bright socks.
And it was just the girls.
With DMs.
I want to tell you about the Marsh Networking over coffee, which is Manana.
Tonic soup. Two-tone tonic soup.
Oh, blimey. If we're going to go through your entire childhood in Essex, we could be here for days.
Purple midi.
Yeah, Crombies. Anyway, the Marsh Networking over coffee is Manana tomorrow, the 4th of December, from 10 till 12 at the Cinqport Arms, 1 the High Street, New Romney. If you want to find out more about it, if you drop an email to Terry Botfield, terry@botfield.net, or you can follow Terry on the Twitter with my favourite Twitter handle, TDBotty. So give TDBotty a follow on the Twitter and find out about Marsh Networking over coffee, and the next event's tomorrow, 10 a.m. You can do one more, and then I'm going to talk to Deb because I want to talk to somebody sensible.
I knew you'd say that.
Yeah.
Leeds Castle Concert is returning with a swing next summer. It's on Saturday the 11th of July, so this is a diary date for 2020. Down for the Count Swing Orchestra will be bringing their electrifying show full of incredible energy and musicianship to the Leeds Castle Concert. Now in its 42nd year, Paul Andrews.
Mm-hmm. Right. Doesn't look that old.
No. The Leeds Castle Concert has grown both in popularity and in the diversity of its musical programme. The concert is now much a highlight of the Kent Social Party calendar, offering a mix of much-loved classical favourites alongside new orchestration of popular favourites. And to mark the 2020 concert, it'll feature exciting content celebrating 100 years since the roaring 1920s. Down for the Count, recreate classic tunes from the swing era. I love swing. This is no mere nostalgic trip. I hear you breathing.
Yeah, and I was going to say something, and I just thought, no, don't go there.
You bit your lip.
No, no, yeah, I love swing. I was going to say it's your era, really, isn't it?
Swing?
Yeah.
No! How dare you? It's your era, probably. Well, you're more sort of, what is it, bone and nail. They hadn't got any trombones or anything in your era, had they?
Is that right?
Not invented. Anyway, the band perform each song in their own unmistakable style, breathing new life into the best vintage, Paul Andrews, mm-hmm. music. Combine that with the band's top-class instrumental solos, sublime vocal performances and irresistible humour and joie de vivre.
Joie de vivre.
Joie de vivre.
That's a bit French, that is.
Yeah, I prefer stroopwafel.
Yeah, and mange too.
And the start to the concert will be incredibly uplifting, setting the scene for much more to come. And, of course, the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra with conductor and artistic director John Rigby. It'll be a truly memorable evening. So to find out more, go to leedscastleconcert.co.uk or call, here's a little telephone number coming, so get your pen, it's 0845 652 6262 for tickets and more information. I'm sure it'll be on the Kent...
It's on the Business Bunker Radio website. Exactly. There's links to it. Cool.
Exactly.
Cool. Do you know what? I think it's about time we talk to young Deborah here.
I do.
Yeah, don't you?
I do.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the very first time to our Ashford studio on yeah. the Business Bunker show, the lovely Deb Turner. Deb, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming along. I want to talk to you about some of the hundreds of things you actually do right now. Because you do so many things, don't you?
I don't like to get bored.
Yeah, well, obviously. Yeah. And we're going to touch on all of them, I think. So, U-Image Consulting is you and your dress sense.
Absolutely.
You're also heavily involved.
She always looks glamorous.
Oh, she's marvellous.
Puts it all together.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'd have remembered this morning at 5 o'clock, I would have made a bit of an effort.
Yeah, no, she put me together too. Yeah. That's why I look so good. Yeah.
Didn't she get rid of all your navy shirts?
No, that was Tracy Randall.
Tracy Randall, yeah, she moved.
Tracy was never got over the
Do
fact
you
that
Tracy?
Tracy never got over the fact that I had 65 blue shirts.
How many have you got now?
68. Anyway, you're also heavily involved in the property market. But a lot of us know you for your work with the Federation of Small Business, where you're the lead for Kent and Medway. Plus, you're also heavily involved with BAME Women in Business too. So I don't mind where you start with all of that, Deb, but let's start talking about some of it.
Well, let's start with talking about, only because you mentioned how well Zoe had done, it's great to be able to celebrate a woman in business. And so my national lead for the FSB role is basically trying to encourage more women to either start a business, because yep. we know that there's definitely a group of women, a massive group of women, that really want to, but they're holding themselves back. And that can be for a number of reasons. Yep. A lot of that can be around confidence.
Doing the laundry, children.
Exactly. Multitasking, yeah. as we do. Mm. But obviously some actual kind of business barriers that they feel that they may not be able to get the right type of funding, or they feel they don't know where to go for the support. But actually, FSB's report has shown that if those women started the businesses at the rate that men are starting businesses,
yep.
we could add $10 billion to the UK economy.
Absolutely.
So that in itself is, let's do it. Let's encourage, let's help support that. So what the FSB are doing is we're doing some roundtable events. So I went up to Yorkshire last week. They've got a really active volunteers in Birmingham and in Bristol. Mm. So what we're trying to do is encourage existing FSB members, but also new members to come on board,
yep.
but to really get involved with their local communities. Because one thing that women in business tend not to be great at is celebrating their success. That's why I'm just keen to kind of, whoa, well done, Zoe. So we're not very good at shouting about what we're doing. We're not very good at shouting about how great it is. And so as a result, we haven't got enough role models. So one of the things FSB has found, and actually the Alison Rose report, which came out last year, Alison Rose is chief executive of RBS, the first woman to have that role, has identified is that access to role models and networking opportunities for women in business are lacking, actually. Mm. And so FSB are stepping up for that. And we're encouraging our volunteers. We've got a great band of volunteers in Kent. We're really lucky We've got Sue Hainsby, Carly and Lettins in Rochester. We've got Wendy of Holistic Home down on the coast. Mm. And we've got Deb Smith in Whitstable. And they are all hosting, on behalf of the Federation of Small Businesses, Women in Business brunches there. So they're child-friendly hours. And basically what we do there is we showcase other women in business. So the highs and the lows. We all know that it's really tough running a business. And when people realise that, you know, there are other women out there doing it, it's almost that access to someone. You know, they're not just on their own. There are other people out there doing it. So that's one of the great things that the Women in Business volunteers are doing for us in Kent.
Absolutely. And one of the things about Kent, I think, if I remember rightly, like 34% of all new startup businesses in Kent are women at the moment. So it's a third. And we want to see that grow, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. And of those, most of them at the moment, unfortunately, are in... It's great that they're starting the businesses, but they're in kind of the low growth areas.
Yeah.
So we aren't seeing that influx of women starting businesses in high growth areas. So in IT, in tech.
Yeah. Yeah.
So again, another reason for that, you know, that list that Zoe's kind of been part of to really start to escalate. And obviously the STEM subjects. So one of the things that obviously I work with you on, Paul, with the FSB is the when we go into schools for our FSB 30-30 events, where we bring in small businesses to talk to kids. And it's great at that level if we can start to encourage more women, more girls to think about areas that they're not working in at the moment or they don't have access to role models their parents might be doing, sort of perhaps some more traditional, working in more traditional sectors. And if we can encourage women to start businesses in those growth sectors, productivity in the UK could really start to see a change.
Absolutely. A couple of weeks ago, we had Cheryl Corsbrook and Ella Brocklebank on the show trying to encourage women into construction. We have massive problems in the UK in construction. There's 140,000 unfilled jobs at the moment. 37% of them are in construction. People think that we're not building houses because we're doing something weird. The reason we're not building houses is we've got no one to build them. That's the single biggest problem. Cheryl and Ella and other people are trying very hard to encourage women into construction as well. I've got something to talk about later on about a new engineering initiative, which is also encouraging people into engineering and manufacturing. So love what you're doing. Love how you're trying to do it. We also know that coming up to a general election, but one of the things that we're all keen on in business, whether we're men or women, is to have a more business-friendly environment. And I'm saying this, I'm not asking you to say this, I don't think we've had a very business-friendly environment for quite a while, especially with small businesses and self-employed people and absolutely top stupidity like IR35 and other stupid nonsense like that. We've got to start removing some of those barriers to letting people actually start businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, FSB have got a campaign to actually make the, you know, electioneering so that they actually hear the voice of small business. Yeah. And that's, you know, FSB are, you know, we're a member-led organisation and what we want to do is kind of understand and know what the frustrations are. Mm. So we are encouraging, you know, one of the campaigns that we're heavily involved in lobbying government is about the business-related small business rate relief.
Yeah.
Because it's a matter of, it's killing, as we know, it's killing the high street.
Yeah.
Do you know what, do you want to know what my business rates are in Canterbury? Do you know what I know what
go
I pay?
Go on, tell us.
Go on, we do.
£48,000 a year, my business
crazy.
Rates in Canterbury.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I pay more than Tesco's. Ridiculous.
You know what? I was in last Thursday. I was in Canterbury, and so many shops are
closed.
We've got Debenhams, and about four or five shops are closed and boarded up.
All the big department stores are shutting down. But there is a lovely plan for
not Fenwick's yet, is it?
It's Fenwick's in Edinburgh is on its last legs.
So we've lost Nathan's as well, haven't we?
Yeah. Have you seen a new plan for that though?
What's it going to be? A little market store?
No, it's going to be a big. It's a big development of an indoor shopping mall and food court downstairs, offices above, and then penthouse flats above that.
Nice, yeah. But still, offices. I know they're needed. Food. There's so much food in Canterbury. I think it would be nice to have some bijou shops and different shops. Because when I go there, there's nothing there. There's Monsoon and Fenwick's.
Yeah, well, nobody does shops in high streets. That's a silly thing to do.
And
you've got to go to a shopping mall to do that.
Exactly. And you pay £6 for the privilege of wandering through the high street with everything boarded up, which is very sad.
£6 for what?
Car parking.
For parking.
You're joking. If it was £6, I'd be there all day. It's £14 for me to park at work.
Yeah, but you're there for how many hours?
Oh, a whole 7 hours. Well,
yeah, I know. It's
£14
joke.
And the council have just put... Oh, I'm going to have a rant now. The council have just passed the thing to put the prices up.
Not again.
Yeah, they're mad.
They're going to make it a ghost town.
Anyway, it was nice to talk to Deb about this.
But yes, so, carry on about you were saying about the high street. That was your fault because you said high street.
Yeah, you mentioned
then,
the fatal word.
Paul and I go.
Well, Small Biz Saturday, you mentioned as well. Yeah. So just because they're really campaigning for the high street. So they had their Small Biz Saturday bus. They were in Brighton on Thursday, then Sevenoaks, and then last Friday they were at Whitstable and Canterbury. Mm. And the whole purpose this time around Small Business Saturday was to encourage people to come to the high street. So even if you're thinking, well, do you know what, I just need to get my shoes rehealed, or, yeah, I want to go and take the kids for a coffee, or you know, go and buy some small Christmassy bits, then go to the high street as opposed to using the large stores.
It's up to parents as well, because when my kids were small, I used to make them, instead of going to Tesco Metro in Tankerton High Street, I'd say, go to Sermons, the butchers. And they go, oh, yeah, but we have to talk in there. You know, they have to talk to us. I said, yeah, it's nice, you know. So we sent our son, he was about 10, and Gav said to him, go and ask for chicken legs. Just go and ask for chicken eggs. Go and, so Shay went in and he said, I want chicken eggs, please. And they gave him chicken legs. And he was mortified and he wouldn't go back for about 2 years. But seriously, you've got to tell your kids, you know, go to the local shops, the local independent shops. Because really all we're having now is coffee shops and hairdressers and barbers. I'm losing these really nice butchers and bakers and things. So we've got to support them.
Mm-hmm.
Another rant, sorry.
Yeah, no, but the problem is the cost of being in business versus anything else, you know. And it's high rents, high business rates, business improvement districts, all the other stuff that they've
done. And the cost of employing people.
Yeah. And, yes. And the cost.
Wages.
Yeah. Sorry, Simon?
Minimum wages.
Yeah, minimum wage, living wage, workplace pensions, all the other on costs, which is another thing that I rant about quite a lot when people start to talk about wage levels, is it's about time that people understood employment costs, not just wage levels, because there are lots of costs on top that an employer has to find to get your £10 an hour actually cost me £15 an hour. And people need to understand that.
My friend who runs a hair salon, beauty salon in Herne Bay, won't mention her name, but her landlord has just put the backdated it 3 years and put her rent up by 3 years. And apparently he can do that. Backdate it by 3 years. Do you know about that, Simon?
No. I don't know about backdating per se. I'm afraid, but I suppose if you've got an agreement up to a certain date, then that's the agreement. That's the date.
Yeah. Time is of the essence.
Very scary for her, you know, to especially at this time of year. Mm. You know, because okay, we're busy at Christmas in hairdressers, but then January is pretty quiet.
Mm.
But I mean, properties are an enormous issue anyway for all kinds of reasons. So maybe we can talk to Deb a little bit about this because she's also in the property business. So see, this show's produced.
It's seamless
production, isn't it? Do you see how I segued between one and the other?
So where are you investing?
Well, I'm not investing per se. I'm encouraging others to invest. So
she's not using her own money.
No,
don't be silly.
Goodness me, I'm spending that on clothes, don't you forget.
Well, I can sell.
So my property side is very much around asset utilisation, asset management. So it's helping landlords to make best use of their property. Mm. Predominantly, I'm working for some local authorities who have big property portfolio. And they're looking at how best they can use it, because it might be from a service perspective, you know, they could combine some services where in the past it was felt that everybody had to have their own premises. Whereas now if they combine some premises, they might have one that they can send sell. Local authorities need capital receipts as well as revenue. So I'm helping them to identify either savings or how they can make a bit more money.
Is this residential or commercial?
Commercial.
Okay. Because I was going to rant to you about residential with Section 21, that the government want to get rid of Section 21. Which means you can't get rid of a tenant without telling them the reason. And the reason that I got, you know, as a property I manage, I got rid of a tenant was because she trashed the place and made it smell. Well, if you've got to tell somebody that, it's not very nice. So, you know, I gave her Section 21. And then Swale Council told her to stay because they had nowhere to rehouse her. So I took on Swale Borough Council and got her out. Otherwise, it would have been a court case, which would have cost my client £1,000. At least to get her out and take months. And I told Swale Council that I worked on radio and would they like to come in and do a show on the fact that...
She pulled rank.
Yeah.
So What's your thoughts and feelings at a kind of overview level, Deb, or where we are with commercial property? Ignore her and her domestic stuff.
No, commercial, yeah, because I know in Tankerton High Street there's a beautiful little shop that had to close, and their rates had been put up to $1,000 a month. Well, yeah. How are you going to, what have you got to sell to?
Is that all?
It was a tiny shop the size of this.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the trouble, I think, because what.
So they've gone online. They've had to go online.
And that's. Mm. So the beauty of if you've got a commercial property and, you can go to your landlord and you can negotiate your rent, if that could be an issue in terms of cost for you, but you can't go to the VOA and negotiate your business rates.
I tried. Fruitworks, which is what I own in Canterbury, which is a community workspace, when the Hammond man came up with his staircase tax. We've got 5 staircases in Fruitworks.
Staircase tax?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's if you occupy floors of a building that aren't contiguous, but you do have to go out onto a staircase and then out again. So, yeah, it's kind of like it's just created a massive – a big company, Myers.
Yeah.
Myers.
Yeah. So went to the Lands Tribunal, this case, around rates relief, and it's now commonly called the staircase tax. But it's causing massive issues. And the deadline, by the way, is 31st of December this year. It's a 2010 rating list. So if you've got
why don't you take your staircase out, put a lift in? Just saying.
Yeah, yeah. You've dealt with councils before, have you? It's a listed building. You can't do that. Yeah. Anyway.
Sorry, we were talking commercial property.
So what's your overview of where we are with commercial property at the moment? Because there's lots of changes in usage patterns, as
yeah.
I know.
Maidstone's a classic, yeah. Where because of permitted development rights, a lot of the office properties were converted to resi.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's a massive shortage of the right type of office.
I'll tell you, my head office is in Maidstone High Street. I've been trying to buy commercial property for my head office for 6 years, and I haven't even viewed anywhere, let alone found anywhere that I might buy.
No. Yeah. And it's what it's doing. It's pushing office demand out to, sort of, for example, in Maidstone, out to Westmoreland, out to King's Hill. But it's losing it from the town centre. And, of course, the town centre offices used to drive the retail because you'd go and get your lunch and all those other bits and pieces.
Places to work as well.
Yeah, completely.
And warehousing, there's a massive shortage in Kent of warehousing. So what we've seen is we've had companies in sort of warehousing starter units and then wanting to go up to that next level. They've grown, they've got, which is what FSB is encouraging them to do. And then they want a bigger premises and there's a shortage. So you've either got the massive sheds or tiny starter, nothing in between.
Mm. It's interesting as well what you said, because it shows you how politicians in general don't really think joined up in any way. And it is difficult, and I do understand to some extent, but you've got to start thinking more rationally about these things. And you kind of hit on a point as well, which is why people want to have offices in town centres. It's because they've got everything available to them in terms of going shopping at lunchtime, going for something to eat and all the rest of it, which is absolutely right.
Get their shoes healed, as you were saying.
But then a certain unnamed council...
And you Strooper waffle.
Yeah, Strooper waffle.
a certain unnamed council that I won't name, Canterbury, refused to give me planning permission... to change planning permission on a derelict shop to turn it into an office. I went, no, it's in the retail plan now. But nobody's going to open a shop in it. Mm. Yeah, but it's in the plan now. So, you've got to be more joined up than that, because in order to save the high street, bizarrely, you actually need more offices and homes.
Yeah, absolutely.
because that's going to bring people back into the high street that will use the services that are there.
A good mix.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the impact of that as well is the whole climate change and,
people driving.
Pollution in the city. Yeah. So if you've got that old,
the mix.
And I am old enough to remember this one, the Mars live, work, and help you rest, work and play.
Work on an egg.
Yes. What you need to be able to do is do it all in one location without having to travel and that having. So you've got the true local communities, local economies that are booming. So.
Oh, absolutely. If you want to go past that as well, I think that we've got to start using the taxation system as an incentive and not just a disincentive. Yeah, we're worried about all these things. So why don't we give people incentives to work at home or work locally?
I reckon in another 10 years, more and more people will be working from home. Mimi, my daughter-in-law, works for KPMG. She's allowed to work from home. She's a graduate, so she's young. Twice a week already with KPMG.
It's interesting because the pattern we see with Fruitworks is a lot of corporate people are allowed to work from home, but they don't actually like working from home. What they don't want to do is commute.
Yeah.
So what they do is they pay to come to Fruitworks for the 2 days they're supposed to be working at home. Mm. Yeah. Because they don't want to be at home.
Commuting is a pig.
And it's the commuting they're trying to save. Yeah. And quite rightly too. You know, it's a hit on the climate. It's a hit on costs. And it's a time waste.
Yeah. Well, the other day, Gav was commuting, my new husband, and it took him longer to come from Victoria to Whitstable than it did for us to go to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
It was like 3 hours. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, the trains are quicker to Amsterdam.
Yeah.
You can go direct to Amsterdam now by train, by the way.
Yeah, we looked at that, but it was...
Because last time I went, I had to change trains, but now there's a direct train.
Well, we flew City Airport to Amsterdam. It was so quick, you know.
And interestingly, how trains are making a bit of a comeback, because there's talk about making a direct link from Ebbsfleet to Bordeaux.
Wow.
Which is handy, because my son and my grandson live... just outside Bordeaux.
Yeah, you can nip down there.
5 hours on the train.
But I think that our country needs a complete shake-up with trains. You know, the price of trains, the fact that they don't run, the fact they're filthy. You know,
you don't like trains.
Well, I do if they run on time. But we commute quite a bit from London, and they chuck us off at Faversham. We have to get the night bus.
Yeah.
But it happens every Tuesday. It's been happening for years.
My local station's good though.
Why?
Because it's brilliant.
Tenterden.
Yeah.
Why?
It's got steam.
Well, you'd remember the days of steam, wouldn't you?
Where's it go again?
Casey Jones.
It's great if you want to go to Bodiam.
Casey Jones.
Yeah, exactly. The Cannonball Express.
Yeah, nobody else would know that. Yeah,
absolutely. Cool. So, Deb, we're going to talk to you some more later on about the summit and the other stuff. Thank you for that. If people want to find out more about you and the kind of things that you're doing, where's your websites? What's the best way of doing that?
So... I've got two websites, but the main website that I'm using is my U Image Consultancy. You can contact me through there. So it's www.uimageconsultancy.co.uk. But I'm very active on LinkedIn, on Twitter, at U Image Consult. And, get in touch. Let me know if you've got something that you want to do or want me to get involved in women in business. I'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. And just to re-emphasise some of the things that Deb was saying, as the lead for the Federation of Small Business in Kent and Medway, there's lots of activities that the FSB are involved in, lots of initiatives and projects, like the 30-30 project in schools, the Kent apprentice graduations scheme, just loads of stuff, and women in business events. Do get in touch, do get involved. Even if you're not currently a member, get involved, because one of the things we're really proud of in Kent is the strength of our business community and how people help each other.
Yeah.
Deb, thank you so much for that. Do stay with us. We're almost at the half point of the show. I've got a tweet that I'm going to read from Andrea Barker.
Hello.
And she says, I'm tuned in today. I did a review of all the wonderful clients I've seen this year from ages 8 to 73. I'd like to... So you were there, Jules. I'd like a shout out for them, please, as it takes such courage, and I wish them all the best for a loving, happy future. And that's from Andrea Barker, who's a confidence coach. So thank you for that, Andrea.
Nice to have a listening in.
Yeah, absolutely. Live. Go on, what have you got?
Well, Tracy was tweeting in early, wasn't she, at Tazy...
Tassie.
Tassie.
Tassie 69, Tracy Ferguson.
She's gone to Norfolk, you know.
Yeah, she has. She's gone to visit her son.
Yeah, which is lovely. So I don't blame you not listening in while you're with your lovely son.
Oh, she'll listen in later. She's very good, Tracy, at catching up on the show later.
Yeah, she does.
I've had a tweet from Street Soccer. And they're saying, Paul, it's Giving Tuesday today, a day of global giving, a day when everyone everywhere can do something to support the good causes that mean so much to them. Here below is a message from our CEO, Keith Mabbott, thanking all of our supporters. And there's a video attached to this tweet. So give them a follow. Their Twitter handle is Street Soccer CIC. And for those that don't know about Street Soccer, it's a charity that helps homeless young people through football. And they've got some tie-ins with some of the major Premier League football clubs. And we're doing a sleep out with them in January.
Are you?
Yeah.
What does that mean? You're going to sleep outside?
I'm going to sleep outside on the pitch at Maidstone United.
Well, you don't want to lose weight before you do that.
No, exactly. No,
you want to get the carbs down you.
There are some that say that I was asleep on the pitch when I actually played for Maidstone United. But
You're actually quite good at football. I was quite impressed.
40 years ago, maybe, yeah.
Dedicate Recruitment have said hello. Did you see that? Morning,
yes.
Paul, they say. We're off to the Women in Business Christmas luncheon today at Eastwell Manor. Business events one, to hear from Jane Farnham and Sarah Politics. And she's put in all the hashtags, B-Bunker, so she gets a good shout-out, or they do. Dedicate Recruitment. I don't really know them.
They're a fairly new company.
I'm going to follow them. Oh, I am following them.
No, you should follow them.
I am already.
No, they're great, and they're very active. They're very new to Twitter, but they're very active, and they're joining in part of the community. Dedicate Recruitment are a specialist recruitment agency, and they have a double niche, which I find interesting. They specialise in finance and HR people for schools.
Yeah, I saw that on their thing. Mm. And who doesn't love a double niche?
Exactly.
Really.
And do you know what? We're going to join the newsroom now.
Oh, good.
And then when we come back, we've got some more people to talk to.
I can't wait.
Here we go.
Yeah, Stroopwafel.
On the Hour, Channel Radio News Update.